You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 24 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on December 13th, 2012, in the early evening. I am Taylor. My main is a Guardian tank, and that's Guardian for all you old schoolers out there. Not Feral anymore. Guardian tank name, Hoofit. And also with me tonight is Daryl and his Resto Shaman, who's still called Resto, doesn't have a fourth spec for healing. And Rob, the Mistweaver Monk, formerly known as Hotpox. Let's find out what H2Ro has been up to this week. Starting with Rob, that's Hend times 2 plus Roadhouse. So what's going on, Rob?
Hend times 2, huh?
That works.
One hand is not enough. We need 2, right?
Exactly.
I'm just watching.
I thought it was H2 for Hend and Hoofit.
Well.
Yeah.
No, that's just details.
Maybe I'm reading way too much into this.
No, it's totally supposed to be that. I'm just trying to recover. That's all. Thanks for just digging that heel in a little more. That's all right. It's all right.
I'm gonna throw you under the bus, man.
It's not far from the truth, though. I mean, geez, we've already discussed about why Hend had to remodel his kitchen because his head knocked everything out of the way.
Yep.
Freaking kitchen.
And now we've decided he's so amazing, we need another one.
Pretty much.
I don't know if you guys remember or not. I was not going to play alts this very much. I wasn't going to focus on alts at all this expansion.
No one believed you, you know.
I know. I believed me for a little bit, and yeah, that's gone now. This last week I got 3 more. I've got, I think, 6 90s right now, but I finally got 3 more tunes that are at least ready for LFR, so I can run in there a little more. So people need healers or whatever, we can get a little bit quicker queues that way. So that's good. It's been fun. Got a bunch of lots and lots of tillers, lots of farming going. And my reasoning behind that is that with the Enigma seeds, and I can't even remember the name of the other ones for the enchanting mats, I'm able to feed myself just a lot of raw materials and kind of perpetuate some of the gear and the stuff to feed these alts. So I'm able to kind of do things on my own. I don't have to buy stuff off the auction house or anything. You know, I can at least make 476 gear, and I can enchant my own gear and kind of keep that going. So that's been nice. The only other thing that was awesome, I just put up on Twitter a minute ago, I was just hit Exalted with the tillers on my warrior, and it gives you that little quest to go down into the cave and to take out their little hosen leader guy down there before it's like Yak Yak or so. I forget what his name is, but I go in there and I'm fighting him on my warrior, who's a fury warrior, who's like item level 440, and I'm fighting him, and this is taking like 10 minutes to fight this guy. And finally it gets down to the execute phase and my execute move procs, and I hit that and he's just dead, like immediately dead, just like that. And I'm like, wait, what the heck happened? I've been fighting this dude for forever, and all of a sudden he's just dead. And I look up and I see the numbers floating, this crit for 1.24 million, just the number just floating up the side of my screen. And I was like, what the heck was that about?
That's
so
awesome.
Dug down into Scada and found it and screenshotted it. I was like, oh, that's good. That's good right there. That makes me happy. I like that. But yeah, not a whole lot going on. I'm actually, tomorrow's my last day at a job that I'm at currently, and I'll be starting a new job on Monday, a little more with my training and my college degree, put that to some good use, and hopefully that sets me into a good career path there. So not a whole lot else. Hend, what have you been up to?
In game, I think it's been pretty uneventful. You know, every night I'll log in, I'll try and get some dailies done, do my tillers farm. I'm just doing the Enigma seeds right now. looking for those Golden Lotus to get flasks for our raids, which went really well this week.
Yes.
We went, we're now 4 of 6 in Mogoshan Vaults. The first two bosses went okay. I think it took a couple tries for both, just ironing the kinks out still. And then once we got to, was it Garajal? How many tries? I think it was 4 attempts on that, and we finally got him down. And the enrage is at 6 minutes, and I think we hit 5 minutes and 57 seconds. So
yeah, it was tight, man.
Yeah, we were cutting it off of close. I think there was only like 2 or 3 people left alive as well. It was getting late, but we pushed on to the Spirit Kings, and that's a 10-minute enrage, and I think we went 9 minutes and 57 seconds on that one. So, and once again, 2 or 3 people left alive, but we got it after, I think it was three tries we got it. So that was exciting, definitely.
Was it 3, or was it 2. 1 try, 1 screw-up, and we'd reset it, and then a second try?
I guess it was 2 actual tries, yeah. Yeah, I was counting the screw-up where we just wiped it on purpose.
Where, like, some shaman left his totem in the middle of the area when the boss respawned
No. No, we had a mage and a warlock who got killed on the first, what is it, Annihilate? Is that what it is? The ability that he smashes the ground or whatever. We had 2 die to the first one because they didn't get behind him quick enough, so... I know who those 2 are, but I'm not calling them out. I think we all know who they are. Yeah. What else has been going on? My kitchen is getting close to finished. This is like the kitchen reno from hell here. The cabinet guy we got is just kind of a disaster with him. The stuff looks good that he's done. It's just getting him to get it done. I know we ordered doors, or he ordered doors back in June when we first started this, and apparently he forgot to order half of them, so we're waiting for the other half to come in. The last couple days here I've got the backsplash tiled, so it's looking really good, the stuff that's done. It's just that it's not all done is the problem, so we're still shooting for a Christmas deadline, but we'll see if that happens. Because it was originally a Thanksgiving or Canadian Thanksgiving deadline. Then it was the cabinet guy's birthday, which was early November. Then it was American Thanksgiving. And now we're just kind of hoping for Christmas to be done. But who knows with this guy. But yeah, that's kind of where I've been at this week. Still really pumped about how the raid went, and hoping to achieve greater success there this week. Taylor, how has your week been?
It's been a pretty slow week. Work has been busy, as always. Not unbearable. I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. It's pretty cool. In-game, been farming. I had just, you know, with Mist coming out, I had got out of my habit of farming for my TK mount and the Onyxia mount, and so I've been going back to those, soloing those again. And also, I completely forgot, but starting to go back into the Zul'Garub and farming for the Black Panther mount as well. There's another mount I could go in there and do, but I'm not really that stoked about it.
The White Raptor.
And I also don't have a matching White Raptor pet, so... But I do have a Black Panther cub, and I want a Black Panther mount for it. So, going in there... You know, for my Zulian, Swift Zulian Tiger, I actually bought an orange tabby pet so that I could have a matching pet for my... Yeah. I love the matching pets and the matching mounts. You know, the... So that was pretty cool with archaeology, with the fossilized raptor and the fossilized hatchling. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's awesome. But those were obviously made for each other. So, but yeah, for most of the other mounts, I try to get a matching pet if it's possible. So yeah, I've been farming those. I don't know what I'm gonna do if I get the TK mount or if I get the Onyxia mount, because I don't have the. I don't have. Isn't there an like an? Oh no, there is one. The little hatchling Onyxia that does the deep breath.
The whelpling.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I'll be prepared for that one as well if I ever get it. But yeah, not sure what I'm gonna do if I get Ashes of Alar. I mean, I've got the Phoenix. The what is it? Dang it, the 5-man on Isle of Quel'Danas from Burning Crusade. I think it's still Kel'Thas, yeah. The little 5-man heroic, and he drops a little the Burning Phoenix hatchling. I don't remember now. All right, so yeah, pretty much I've just been farming for mounts, and I've been enjoying a lot of the free time that I'm not doing since I've got all the daily factions. Well, except for the new ones in 5.1, I still haven't touched those. I haven't even done the opening quest to get to those, but yeah, that's for another day. So yeah, been having a lot of time on my hands, and it's been nice. It's been relaxing not having to really feel the pressure of all that. I'm still doing the looking for raids and trying to cap out my valor for all the new upgrade stuff and all of that. So yeah, that's been my week.
Good stuff.
Cool. All right, I guess let's carry on here. We have some listener calls we don't have any listener calls. No one calls us or sends in MP3s.
Okay, but to be fair, we don't have a phone number, but yes, yeah, gladly
no one
take
sends in MP3s.
Yeah, you've got an iPhone, an iPod, just got to click that little memo button and then talk into the thing, you know.
Your
Nintendo Wii Wii and start recording. That's it.
Whoa.
Okay. From Facebook, we have George sent us a couple of posts. So what we've done is paraphrase them and combine them together just to make the thoughts more concise. But anyway, I thought I posted this note before. So I'm having trouble setting up weak auras and finding it to be totally bewildering. I'm a holy paladin and I heal with voodoo and place my grid in the middle of the screen just under my tune. I would like to get visual and auditory alerts when I get a useful proc. I would also like to get notified when I have 3 and 5 holy power. I looked at a few setup guides online, but I think I need a guide that gets me to a place where I can use the guides I found. Some included code that did what I wanted it to do, but since the code appeared to be totally random, I didn't see how this could help me generate my own auras, nor did I have any idea where to paste this. I'm loving your show. It definitely fills a niche, and your title perfectly reflects your mission. I set up a WoW-centric Twitter account this morning. You guys are my first follower. And I guess his tune, it looks like, is Holy Predator.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's being followed by Chris Hansen. I'm Chris Hansen. What are you doing here?
So I did respond. This was a Facebook post. I did respond on Facebook. There was some other questions he had too, but just for this particular issue, I'll go ahead and address it. So I basically have a pretty simple 4-step startup guide to weak auras. And this is going to be specifically for a paladin, but you can apply this to any class, to be honest. You just choose a different item from the drop-down or type in a different spell name whenever, you know, we go through this. So, if you are...
I thought this was Hand's 4-step startup menu.
Oh, it probably is when we're done with the show. Somehow he's going to go back in and edit this to where I tell the world that it was Hend. Anyway, so, at this podcast, roughly 14 minutes and 45 seconds, we will begin this 4-step process. So here we go. Now you can pause it and go back into the game and listen and set it up as we go. So the first thing you're going to do, step one, is type slash WA. That's a forward slash, and by forward slash, that means it starts at the bottom and leans to the right. All right, so that's forward slash WA. That brings up weak auras. You're going to click on new. That's at the top left. And then you're going to select texture. This will pop up a little button on the left-hand side that you'll get to name. Just type in a name, and for this purpose, we'll type in Holy Power. Step two.
Cut a hole in
the box. You've typed
in
the name and hit enter to enter the name, on the right-hand side, you're going to see a bunch of tabs. You're going to want to go to the Trigger tab. There's going to be a drop-down default set on Aura, and you want to choose Status from that drop-down. After that, there'll be another drop-down that populates after you choose Status, and in that drop-down list, you need to choose Holy Power. All right, so step three. Once you select Holy Power, below this are going to be some other things that you can do. You want to check the Holy Power box and choose the greater than or equals in the little miniature drop-down. And that's basically the arrow pointing to the right and the equal sign. And then in the box, type a number 3 in the text box and click OK right next to it. All right, last step. This is the very last one. So go to your Actions tab and check the box that says Play Sound. And then there'll be a drop down of a whole different bunch of sounds, and just choose the first one. Choose Air Horn. All right, at this point, you're pretty much... Oh, yeah, this Air Horn is annoying as hell, and it's kind of funny. I'll talk about this in a second.
You will use your Holy Power.
So... This is very, very basic. Obviously, if you have a lot of alts, you're going to want to set up more criterias on these auras. You'll want to specify a class, and you can even specify a particular spec that you have. Maybe you have an aura that you only want to use in Ret or only in Holy, or you know, one way or the other. But this is just to get you started. So that was four steps to set up an aura with a visual and an audio alert. Of course, you can go back at any time, and you can move those graphics around, or you could choose a different graphic, resize it, shape it, bend it, however you want. You could choose a different sound, but I just wanted to get you started for everybody out there.
Can I add one thing in here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
He was talking about finding a string of code and not knowing what to do with it.
Yes.
I don't see that in our notes here. So just real quick, when you're in that weak auras menu, when you open it with the slash WA, when you click on new, on the very bottom left hand side, all the different types of auras that you can create, one of them says import. So you click on that, a black box opens up, and all you do is you paste that code into that box. It'll immediately pop up saying, "Is this what you want? This is everything looks good," and you click done. Or it won't work at all, saying that there was a problem with the code or something isn't working right. So it's really importing code or importing someone else's auras takes 2 seconds literally to do.
Right. And by what we meant by when we had said you can take this code and get an aura and you can use this to learn how to do stuff, we didn't mean by looking at the string of random gobbledygook that this add-on uses to import and export code. What we meant is after you've imported the code, you have a fully set up aura. You can see what they chose in the triggers. You can see what they chose for audio alerts. You can see how they positioned it and sized it in the actual interface of the add-on, not the string of code that you're either importing or exporting. That's all we meant by that. You're not going to learn anything by looking at the other stuff, especially if you have no idea, you know, what type of syntax and how the add-on actually determines what all that means.
What a lot of guys are do too, like we've mentioned this before when we had Affinity on his show, he has all kinds of different weak auras for his different classes, different specs, you know, for his priest, for his monk, for his shaman, and And I went, you can go either onto, Google it, go onto their website, go into like Affinity's stream and ask him if you can have the code for his Monk setup. And he will paste a link to that right there, and you can go and copy it and dump it straight in. So if you're finding stuff like George was saying, that he found some stuff that looked good but he didn't know what to do with it, you can grab it straight from the site, or there's all kinds of websites that do weak aura stuff. I know Derevka, the pretty well known priest healer, he's got all his stuff set up too. So you can grab that code and just dump it in there. It's real easy, and then you can take it from there, like Hoof was saying, and make it your own. If you don't like this, if you want it over on that side, if you don't use that one, you can just tweak it from there. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah, I'm and if you export your own code, you're going to be exporting a string of, your random weirdness that you're not going to understand either. All you need to know is that code is what you just set up, or the code that you're pasting into it is what somebody else set up. That's all you need to know, and then the rest you just handle through the add-on itself with everything else. What were you going to say, Hand?
Well, I'm actually using weak auras now. So, and I did what Rob suggested. I went to Affinity's stream, and actually same time as Rob, and Rob asked him for his codes, and he posted it in there. So yes, I'm using Affinity's Shaman weak auras right now. With a little bit of...
You did change some, right?
Well, I moved it around the placement, and it's a lot of cooldown timers is what it looks like. It's really nice for keeping track of all your cooldowns. I might still add a few just for other notifications. And even last night, on my enhanced spec, with a little bit of struggle, I was able to create my own... And maybe some help from Taylor, but I'll never admit to that after this. but yes, yeah, I'm now using weak auras finally. And one other thing, if anyone... So that time that he pointed out, what was it, 14 minutes and however many seconds? When you guys go back and listen to that, this is what popped into my head when he said step one. I don't know why, but
cut a hole in the box.
Step one, we can have lots of fun. So I'm going to ruin that whole segment of his for you, because you're going to be thinking that the entire time.
No, I was thinking step like one.
Thankfully, it's only going to be ruined after the fact, and I apologize, audience, that Hen listens to New Kids on the Block.
I was thinking more of the Lonely Island. Oh, man. Step one is to cut a hole in the box.
That too.
That is much more acceptable. I will take that. I will take that.
I don't know where that came from. Oh my god. Half our listeners probably don't even know who they are.
The New Kids on the Block?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Oh man. All right, well, we should carry on. Rob, you want to get this next one here?
Yanksy on Twitter says he made a weak aura timer for the Inquisition for Ret Pally, and it really helped his DPS with hashtag training dummy success story.
Sweet.
I know. Yanksy and I have slowly and surely been working on Apsana to get her to start using some mouse over macros, and I think she actually responded back at one point saying that she'd be willing to give it a go. So we're getting there. We're working on that, and that's going to be a whole new success story once we finally get there. So
yep. Yeah, I think I remember Apsana saying something about that a couple months ago. So in a few more months,
right. Yep.
We just might get her. We might get her.
When the new expansion comes out, I think we'll be almost ready.
All you guys on Twitter, just, go ahead and at Apsana, mouse over macros are for the win.
Yep.
Love training dummies.
This next one is from S. Wittick Jr. I believe this was an email that we got. It says, "Well, gentlemen, and Hind too, I have tried."
It's because he listens to New Kids on the Block.
He knows, man. S. Wittick knows. We don't have to tell him. He knows. He's heard the show. Says, "I've tried some different macro sites and some asking in guild chat to figure out how to build a macro to do my milling with a single button. A few facts that I know so far is the macro is /cast milling /use XX Herb or YY Herb Albert.
Oh, did you just Herb it?
Herb. I think I Herbed that one.
This is what happens when you hang out with Daryl in voice chat too long.
Shut it. Carry on.
Hendon is Hanky Herbs.
You know it.
Well, the macro that he's listing here, he says it works, but it hangs if you don't have enough of X or Y to mill. And he was wondering if there was a way to add a qualifier to skip any of the herbs if you don't have them. I would like to pick and choose my herbs to mill. I'm saving snow lilies and fool's cap for flask production. Any help here? And I believe Hand looked into the herbing.
Yes.
I pity the fool's cap.
Unfortunately, this doesn't appear to be possible in a macro to add that kind of qualifier. So I did some research. There's a crazy script you can run, or there's two actually. You want to run one to organize everything, and then the second one will do the milling. But it didn't look like you could pick and choose the herbs that you want to mill. It's just going to mill everything in your bags. It might be best to put those herbs you want to save in your bank if you're going to use this script. I'll put a link to this, the thread where I found this script. Ro is the character R-O, so you want to look for his post in the thread I'm going to link for the script. But there's also add-ons that might work for you as well. Panda is the name of one of the add-ons that I saw quite frequently while researching this topic. I've never used it. I don't know if you guys have ever used it.
I have not.
But it was the one that I saw most often. I'm looking at various threads, various people asking the same kind of question you did. And a lot of people always recommended Panda. And looking it up on Curse, it has almost 300,000 downloads total. So that must mean something, that it does what it's supposed to. So you can check our show notes and the comments for the link to that thread, or you can also check out this add-on. I don't know if you guys know of any other that might do what he's asking for, but these are the two that I was able to come up with.
I don't know of any in particular, but reading this question, I was like, yeah, you know what? It's freaking annoying sitting there like, mill, herb, mill, herb, mill, herb, mill, herb. So yeah, let me check out that Panda add-on myself.
I think we got some Canadian conversion on the number of downloads there. 300,000 US downloads, only 3,000 Canadian downloads after conversion. So.
Right.
Oh, all right. This is one of our longtime commenters of the show. Elamari.
Yeah, yeah.
And Elamari is a he, by the way, if you didn't know. Hey, Hoof It Hand and Hot Pock. Maybe I should change that. Hoof It Hand and Roadhouse. it does say, or whatever character Rob is playing.
To be fair, I have been true to Roadhouse like I said I would be. He is getting all my attention first and foremost, and he is my rating tuned. So, yeah, I'm playing my alts now, but Roadhouse is my man. He's my bro.
That's the one, huh? All right, so Elamari, he has a question about macros. I know that each equipment slot is represented by a number that can be used in a macro to activate items, such as items that have an on-use, trinkets, weapons, cloaks, chest pieces, engineering, tinkers, all those kinds of things. I always forget which number goes with each slot. Would you be able to provide a short list or table that explains which numbers go to which slot? At the moment, I'm using the name of the equipment I want to activate. This is a pain because every time I upgrade my equipment, I have to update my macros. If I just use the slot number, then I don't have to worry about it. Keep up the great work, guys! Elamari, 90 Feral Druid, Proudmoore, US. And I'm assuming he means Kitty Feral, since... since us feral right. Druids got janked into being called guardians.
Janked.
Yes, there are equipment numbers. These are very handy, and not only do they save you from having to rewrite your macros all the time, it significantly shortens the length of your macro, especially if you're trying to do a number of things in them. But yeah, so you've got head equals 1, neck is 2, shoulders is 3, shirt is 4, chest is 5, your belt is 6, legs are 7, feet are 8, wrists are 9, gloves are 10, your rings, top and bottom, are 11 and 12, and your trinkets, and this is the one that you were asking about, I think, trinkets, top is 13, bottom is 14. These are the most common on-use macros on the planet. Use 13, use 14, use present or cast presence of mind, cast pyroblast. Oh wait, no, that's Burning Crusade. That doesn't work anymore. Well, I guess it does kind of work, but not like it used to. The one button macro, mage macro.
3 minute mage.
Yeah. So yeah, your cloak is 15. Your main hand is 16. Offhand is 17, and your tabard is 18.
I think my favorite is the shirt. So if you've got for that on use shirt,
right.
The on you shirt. So yeah, we ran through that list pretty quick, but we will post that in the comment of the show after the show is posted, so you can look at it real quick. Also, most of this information you can find this on Wowpedia. It's also on the Blizzard forums. All of this information is out there. If you forget, and they'll probably have a lot more information in this as well, like how to use stances or druid shapeshift forms or paladin auras. Wait, do paladins still have auras?
It's the same.
No, they don't have all.
No,
that.
They do. It's the same thing as like a warrior stance now, or with the
hunters
changing.
But they don't have the six auras that they used to have.
You get three now. Crusader's baked in, and then you get three, you know, depending on what you want.
I remember having a grid laid out of stance numbers and what they were for classes, and it was just this big grid. And, you know, like one was for all the warrior stances, the druid shapeshifts, and it would be even weirder because once you got flight form, then it was... I can't remember, one of the forms actually inserted itself in between the existing ones, so if you didn't have it, then your last shapeshift was a certain number, but if you had flight form or tree form, maybe that's what it was, then it like scooted the one on the end up one, so then you had to change that number. It was a big pain in the butt, so I had kind of flashbacks from those old macro days when things weren't as consistent. But anyway, hey, you know, that might still be true though with the whole tree thing. I don't know, but anyway, yeah, we'll have this list of all the item slots, trinkets 13 and 14.
If you're
use
them often.
If you're an engineer, you use three of these as well all the time. You've got belt 6, gloves 10 for your synapse springs, and then you've got your back for your glider, your parachute 15. So I use those three all the time as well, in addition to the trinkets. So if you're an engineer, there's a solid 5 you're going to want to use all the time.
I'm going to suggest not to macro your boots into your main nuke
macro. Why is that?
That's a pretty safe assumption,
no,
right?
I mean, it
might be funny for everyone else.
When you're running up and all of a sudden your favorite shaman is dead.
I'm your favorite. Oh.
My favorite Canadian. Wait. I'm gonna dig a hole here.
I can't believe you just admitted that. That's. Oh,
I know other Canadian shamans. That's the problem. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
I'm just happy that... Yeah, I'm just happy we talked for like 10 minutes about macros. I think we deserve a pat on the back for that one.
We filled our quota. Good.
Kevin over at the Dark Moon Herald will be proud.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we got a last minute DM today from a Jetrix saying, "Hey guys, I just listened to episode 22. Do you guys use any tooltip add-ons? And also, I use a Just Informant from Auctioneer, but not Auctioneer itself. As for tooltip add-ons, I think the only one I use is TipTac, and I don't even remember what it fully does anymore, but I'm pretty sure it just allows you to place the tooltips where you want. If it has any other functionality other than that, I don't remember what it is."
Yep. I wonder where you learned about tooltip or tip tac.
I told you about it. You know it. I told you about tip tac.
I think one of my favorite things about tip tac is when you're looking at other players, it'll give you their spec and what rank they are in their guild, and it gives you all kinds of stuff. I think it even, maybe it's because I'm using one of the auction add-ons, but it also gives me, you know, when I mouse over something, it'll give me the auction price and the vendor price. You know, there's a lot of stuff baked into it, so it's a pretty rocking add-on.
Yeah, well, that doesn't give you that stuff. That's based on your auction add-ons or your bag add-ons. They add those things into the tooltip. Using tip tac?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
just the tip.
Tip tac. That's the one. Just the tip tac. Oh my goodness. So yeah, what it's gonna do? I mean, there's several different tooltip add-ons you can get. It has several different settings. It'll have a setting for if you mouse over something, like a player, you can have it always show the tooltip in a certain spot. So if you don't like the default off in the lower right-hand corner spot, if you want it to be in the top middle of your screen. Every time you mouse over a player, whether it's a friend, a boss, an enemy, or whatever, you can have it display in one specific area. You can also have it for different types of tooltips. Like if you mouse over something in trade chat, let's say, it'll appear where you moused over it in trade chat instead of the other place. So you can control where different types of things that you want information on appear at.
Yeah, you can tie it to your cursor.
So if it's, you know, right. So like for chat links and stuff like that, I have the tooltip pop over on the cursor for players, bosses, and you know, stuff that involves probably fighting. I have it display at the top middle of my screen because I don't want it to be on a mouse over because you know, if I'm trying to mouse over somebody to focus them or whatever, I don't want a whole tooltip popping up in the middle of my screen for that. So when all my fighting stuff is in a better location for me visually. What it also does, like Rob mentioned this earlier, you can choose to have it show you another player's guild rank, which I think is really cool because if someone's being a total jerk. And you look mm-hmm. you look at their guild rank and their like trial period, you can feel really confident most times to contact that guild's GM and say, hey, this dude's swearing profanities and racial slurs and all kinds of jerky things or whatever, or he's being a dork in a five man or whatever. And if you find out that it is a GM of a guild, you know, you can just kind of say, well, this guy's, you know, not too much of a quality person. What I really like about seeing guild ranks with Tip Tac is there's some really bizarre guild ranks out there. Holy crap. It's comical. It's almost funny just to go in, you're just standing in the middle of a very populated area and mousing over people and reading what their guild ranks are, because there are very few people that actually use any kind of ordered method. Like if I look at somebody's guild rank and I'm like, I have no idea if that's a, you know, some dude they just invited, or if that's a high up officer or a class raid leader. I have no idea based on whatever the heck that was I just read. I also like this over the default tooltip. I don't know if they've changed this or not in the default tooltip, but I like that I can highlight the box itself with the class color. I mean, yes, the name is colored by the class, but the box will also kind of highlight itself, you know, with whatever their class color is. I'm not going to go into every little facet of Tip Tac, but it's a pretty nice add-on. I really like it, and one of the best things about it is just being able to move a tooltip where it is easier for you to see. If you're a healer it doesn't matter. I'll just roll with that one. If you're a healer and all your raid frames are on the left-hand side, having a tooltip on the bottom right-hand corner kind of blows. So you know, rather than moving an entire set of raid frames, you know, if you're in 10, maybe that's not too bad, but if you're in 25 man or if you're in a 40 man raid, you know, open world raid or something, or in something else, that's a pain in the butt. That's a lot of information to move all over the place when you can just move the tooltip over to where you want it so that you can see it with everything else. You have it grouped over there. So, yeah, the anchoring of the tooltip for me was key. And that's usually all I care about. But there's been some things over the couple years. I think it's only been like 2 years, because I used to use a different one called Tiny Tip or something like that. And it broke horribly. And it, like a month went on that it wasn't fixed for. So then I found TipTac, and TipTac has been fun ever since. So, yeah, if you want to move stuff around and you like things with more information, then that could be good for you.
TipTac.
All right, so on Twitter and Facebook, or was it just on Twitter? I don't remember. We asked you what kind of stuff drives you bonkers in terms of bosses, fights, mechanics, that kind of thing. So we got some little bit of feedback on this, and I think we're going to roll into that next.
A lot of feedback, actually. Enough that it kind of inspired us to, even though we are good, what the heck, are we like 3 months into this expansion now? Some of this stuff is still problematic for a lot of people. So it kind of inspired us to go back and start doing a little bit of recap and hitting up some of these points that that people may not know even to this day. I know we had lots of exchanges on Twitter about a couple of fights or dungeons in general. So we're gonna do a little bit of coverage on that, and the one we're going to start off with this week is the Temple of the Jade Serpent. So, just starting off with this dungeon, when you walk into it, everyone goes left first, and the main thing that you need to know is it doesn't matter which way you go. I had a group almost bust out into a fight the other day because the tank went right and the healer went left, and they were getting all upset with each other. But it really doesn't matter. You can go either way. If you're looking to get an achievement called Cleaning Up, I think we'll talk about that here in a minute. If you're looking to get that achievement, you'll want to go up to the library first and then go over to the Wise Mari water boss after that. But it doesn't matter. You can go either way. One of the main things that I think with this expansion so far that I wanted to mention was there's a massive amount of AoE damage and poo on the ground and all kinds of stuff that I just don't remember it from before, but it really feels like Blizzard has added a whole new level of individual responsibility that it's requiring players to be proactive and be aware of the mechanics and watch out for things on their own instead of just relying on the healer or the tank to do their job. So we're starting to see this, I guess it's training wheels a little bit. It's prepping people for raiding and even for LFR. I know with the five mans, we've really kind of outgeared a lot of it. You can stand in the AoE damage and it's not that bad and the healer can handle it. But it's a mentality that I think we're trying to get people, the Blizzard is trying to get people into so they can really, I don't know, be better players or be better raiders or, you know, so I think they're bringing that to the table a lot. So kind of like tanks, try to be cool, move the mobs as best as you can away from the damage. DPS, don't just stand in the damage. You know, I mean, it's the same account. It's the same mentality as ever. You know, don't take damage just to take damage. But I feel like it's a huge movement. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's a little bit different than it was before. With the previously, I think some of the ground effects, it was like if it's red or if it's black or purple, you know, stay out of it. If it's green or yellow or whatnot, then it's good and it's okay and you can stand in it, you know. But that's even starting to change now too. I don't know if you guys have noticed, you know, in this particular boss fight, you run over and you start fighting those water elementals and they leave that nice, beautiful blue water on the ground and it does quite a bit of damage and you don't want to stand in that. And you're used to seeing, like, if you see blue on the ground, you're like, oh, okay, the shaman left a nice healing rainforest, we can go stand in that. And that's not the case. So it's like it's kind of retraining yourself on what to do. And I know a lot of people kind of had different attitudes and different perspectives on the GTFO add-on, but that's still, I think, with just the way that trash and AoE is going on right now, it's still a really handy add-on. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I love that add-on.
All right. So shall we begin?
I don't know. Did we cover it all there? That was my two cents into this thing that we're going to be doing now, covering these dungeons. You know, that was like, you know, kind of going into all this. There's a new level of awareness that I think that Blizzard is pushing everybody into, even DPS. You know, everybody kind of needs to do their part and kind of pay attention a little more, I guess. I don't know.
Well, those are wise words, and as such, let's begin Mari. With Wise Mari.
Ooh, nice segue.
Or is it Maru?
Wise.
Man, I'm going to have to remember how to do that for future... nah, never mind. I'll just butcher it. So, I'll cover real quickly. As a tank on this fight, what I do is... So when the fight starts, Wise Marie... Dang it, now it's going to bug me because it doesn't look right. Starts spinning in circles like a jerk, and... Or maybe he doesn't do that yet, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he just starts spinning anyway, though. But he's immune, and you have to kill some of his minions first. These water elementals that spawn, you don't want the group to be standing in poo. So as a tank, it's very nice if you move these out of the way for the group. What I recommend is taking them into either pocket on the left or the right side, where those cauldrons are that they spawn out of, or... in the little room that people are standing in, just get up against a wall on the left or right hand side. Don't tank it right in the middle. It's really frustrating for other melee in the group that want to attack the next from that spawns whenever there's this.
You know, it's puddle of poo funny in that the you ground. Say that, because we did a group the other day where we were at the back there, and I'm like, man, what is all this blue stuff on the ground? Like, there's a lot, and it's right where we're fighting. But it's because I'm always running with you, and you weren't there, tanking them off to the side. The tank was taking them right in the middle, and we had to move out of the way of that. That's kind of funny you say that. It just dawned on me right now, this second, as you said that. That's awesome. Carry on.
So if you alternate left and right, by the time you have to go to the left side again, the puddle has despawned. So just take it to, you know, one side first, and then when the next one spawns, take it to the other side, and when the next one spawns, just go back to the original side, and so on. And, I mean, that's about it of this first part for tanking. Do you have any healer or DPS perspectives on this?
I usually find it's pretty easy to heal this part. I'm usually, I'll drop a healing rain or my healing stream totem. And just lightning bolt away on them. They don't do a lot of damage, and if you stay out of the poo that they drop, those puddles, there's not a lot of damage going out, and it's pretty easy to heal this part, I think. Anyway, it's just if the tank puts the mob in a bad place and the puddle is right where everyone's standing, then you're going to have to heal people before they get out of that, or while they take the time to get out of there. But normally I don't find too much healing on this fight at all.
Alright. Well, phase two of this fight, maybe this is so. When he starts spinning around like a jerk. Our good friend Taz said the guy that made this fight must have also made Oculus, because he thinks it's stupid too. So once you kill the four water adds, then Maru starts spinning around in circles, albeit very slowly. It's very similar to... Anyway, so when he spins, he shoots a jet of water out of his mouth or hand or something. I prefer to think he's just vomiting all over the place. And he starts spinning around, and you don't want to be hit by that or it'll knock you back. Additionally, any of the water on the floor, as in phase one, it's still poisonous, so you don't want to stand in that. So generally what you're going to have to do is run in circles preferably behind the watery vomit wave, and DPS him down while you're standing on the little ring on the outside of him. As a melee, this is very, very easy, because you can hit in 180 degrees, so you can pretty much just walk forward in a circle.
Yeah, you don't have to face him.
And hit him with all of your abilities. As a ranged caster and healer, I'm sure this phase is kind of a pain in the butt.
If people don't get hit by his beam, or people don't stand in the water, there's very little damage to heal through. It's just when people get hit by that beam, or they step in the water, that they take damage. It's really, it's all dependent on the group, I guess, on how much healing is actually needed to be done. But if everyone does what they're supposed to, it's very easy to heal this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that boss done and done.
The achievement for this boss is called Hydrophobia, and it's basically to beat the boss without being hit or touching any of the water. And this is on heroic difficulty, of course. So stepping in any of the puddles, any of the beam that he's shooting out, or any of that stuff, you just have to avoid all that. For most people, it's probably not that hard. For me, I don't know if I'll ever get this achievement, as I run around screaming and punching and kicking and laying in the water and splashing and all those other good things. But I've seen a few people get it. It doesn't seem that bad, really. So it's a free 10 points for you.
Yeah, I haven't got this one yet, but I haven't really focused on trying to avoid the water. I'm just running around, as best I can, trying to throw off the odd heal, lightning bolts when I can. And no, I haven't got this either yet, but I think, Taylor, you have this one, don't you?
Yeah, as a tank, this fight requires zero tanking, so I just ran around in circles, being happy and making sure I didn't jump in the water. Whee! Free achievement. Okay, so next up in the typical progression of this dungeon is the Lore Walker Stone Step fight. And this is the one where everybody says something doesn't exist. So we've got two bosses here. The Champion of the Five Suns. This is the one that I witnessed several times and never had a problem with, but apparently it's buggy as hell. And the one that Hend has only seen and swears the other one doesn't exist, which is the Trial of the Yungol. Strife and
sure.
Peril.
Sounds good.
This is actually a super, super easy fight if you do it right. And I actually wasn't doing it right. Well, it was easy before. I wasn't doing it right. Now that I'm doing it right, it's kind of ridiculously easy. Basically, you want to start on one or the other. Don't attack both. As you're fighting them, they're going to get stacks of something. Stack. If they get to 10, what is it? Anger? No. Ultimate power is what they get when they hit 10 stacks of it. I just can't remember what the stacks were called itself. Anyway, if you've got an add-on like DBM, it'll start alerting you at 6 stacks. Or if you're just paying attention to the debuff, just pay attention for 6 stacks. Once one of them gets to 6 stacks, switch targets and go to the other one. And don't attack the first one. And then while you're attacking the second one, by the time it gets to 6 stacks, the other one's stacks will have worn off.
I think it's intensity or something.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Intensity.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
The reason why you don't want to let it get to 10 stacks is then it'll get ultimate power, it'll do more damage, and it'll be immune to anything that you do to it. In addition, if you let it get to 10 stacks, when you start alternating, you're going to be stuck at the very end just waiting for one of them for the stacks to wear off. And nobody can do anything, so you're just sitting there. So you will actually defeat this boss quicker if you switch at 6 stacks because of how it's going to alternate from there on out. I don't know. Healing? What's the healing like on this fight?
It's easy mode until about the last 20%. Then a lot of AoE damage starts going out, but it's super easy to heal.
Have you done it with the six stack method healing, or have you just seen it go
full I've on? Pugged it a lot, so I've done it an absolute mess, and I've done it where it dies before anybody takes any damage, really. But
yeah,
this was on Twitter. This was one of the
number one,
probably the number one thing that people have a problem with, and honestly, the like Hoof was saying, the six stack method is by far the easiest way to do this. If you have any say, if you guys are communicating at all, once you get to this, because everybody is hauling around those rafters, they're running across the bridge, they're coming around, pulling as many adds as possible, and you get to that last thing, you jump off the stairs, nobody even runs down the stairs anymore, you jump off the side, you beat up that little book to start the fight. But if you could take 2 seconds and say, all right, guys, please start on the left and switch at six stacks, most people understand what that means, and it'll make things exponentially easier.
Yep. All right. So after that, you get a speed buff again, and get to run out to a courtyard and AOE pull a whole bunch of little adds if you'd like. I don't recommend this if your healer doesn't know you very well. Yeah, if you can handle it, just go in and AOE one group, second group, third group, pull them all together, because DPS loves it.
Oh yeah, that's fun AOE.
So once you've killed all these little adds in the next little area, you will get to fight Liu Flameheart. And she's a sweetie with a big green dragon. So Liu Flameheart, pretty easy boss. You're just going to be, well, easiest thing to do is just tank her right smack dab in the middle, and just punch her down, keep her aggro. She's going to summon a four flaming paths, or I don't know, little things on the ground that'll shoot out in a north, south, east, west type of pattern. The pattern is based on the direction that she is facing. So if you're a tank and you have a pretty consistent group that goes with you all the time, try to always face her the exact same way every time, so your group can expect and know where those things are going to shoot out of, and they can get used to positioning themselves somewhere comfortable instead of them shooting all over the place. A little bit into it, she's going to stop shooting the flame stuff, and she will begin shooting the jade
waves.
Yeah.
It's green instead of fire.
60% or 66. What are those two? I think is when that happens.
And this is the same thing, except these will stay on the ground. So, again, it's a north, south, east, west pattern based on how she's facing. Or maybe it's an X pattern. I think it's an X pattern, to be honest. Because if you're tanking her right in front of her, she's not going to blast a wave straight in front of her. So, yeah, I think it's an X pattern from the way she's facing. When she gets to the... she's done with fire, and she's going to switch to green jade stuff. That will stay on the ground, and it is a permanent... Well, it's not a permanent, but it is a long-lasting ground effect that you don't want to stand in, because it does damage. And if you don't DPS her down fast enough, she will do this multiple times. And again, if you can keep her facing the same direction, you can just overlap them, and it'll be the same pattern on the ground instead of covering more area. After you DPS her down enough, she will summon the Jade Serpent. This is the same one from the cinematic in Jade Forest. I won't say that because it still might be too soon for people who haven't completed the zone and maybe haven't seen that thing yet. But it's kind of... Huh?
Yulon.
Is it Yulon? That's her name?
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, the dragon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she summons Yulon because Yulon didn't get to complete her her life cycle. And now you're fighting Yulon instead of Liu. And you fight the dragon, and she... every time she pops out, I have to taunt her. She does not retain the threat that you have on Liu. So just be aware of that, tanks, and be aware of that DPS if the tank doesn't know that, if you've been saving that pyroblast up and that giant crit proc that you've just been holding on because you know she's going to pop any second. Yeah, just go easy on that tank if you don't know that tank very well. Anyway, yes, taunt her as soon as she pops out and just, you know, same thing. Just start DPSing her down. She will summon individual pools at a random player's location of the green stuff that that Liyu was shooting out in all directions. So you can't plan this one, where they're going to land. She's just going to pick someone and cast it on them, and it'll appear at their feet. And you've got a couple seconds to move out the way. Obviously, if she puts it on the tank, you know, tank's going to have to turn her a little bit, and that'll be fine. For anybody else, just kind of watching and just move out the way. It's not that big a deal. You'll probably see, depending on your DPS, 1 to 3 of them. And that ends that fight once you're done with that.
Collect loot, move on.
Yep. So the last boss is the Shaw of Doubt. I think. Is it the Shaw of Doubt?
Yeah.
I see what I did there. Never mind. All right. Let's move on.
Okay.
Are you sure?
We don't see it, but whatever.
I see it. That's awesome. Are you sure it's the Shaw of Doubt? Are you sure?
So sure? earlier we were talking about an achievement and which way you could go if you'd like. So what you can do, I don't have this achievement yet because I hadn't looked into it. I don't know if you can kill the Lore Walker and Liyu, or if you can only kill the Lore Walker before doing Wise Murray.
Just Lore Walker.
Okay. So the reason why you want to kill Lore Walker first, if you're going for this last boss achievement, is Wise Marie has a speed buff that he'll give you, and the achievement is to kill the Shaw of Doubt while you still have the speed buff. So by killing Lore Walker first, you free up some of that time, and that's a whole boss worth of fighting that you don't have to waste that 5-minute buff on. So, yes, if you're going for the achievement, kill Lore Walker first, kill Wise Marie, haul butt to Louis Flameheart, pull the whole room, kill Louis Flameheart, kill the ads, and start fighting Shaw of Doubt.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then kill him before the buff wears off, and then you've got an achievement. What's that?
The thing that you can do, it's the exact same thing as the library. If you do the library first, and then you come back to Wise Marie, there's a little door in the back that opens up, and you can run up these stairs and right back down into the courtyard where Liu Flameheart is. So you don't have to run back around to the middle where you came in at it. It's the same way on both sides.
Right. So we just kind of bundled that all together right there. But now we can move on to the Shaw of Doubt fight.
Are you sure?
What you're going to do if you're really, really needing to push for DPS, you're probably going to pull those ads into the Shaw's room and just kill them with the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely. Because otherwise you're just eating up time. Anyway, so Shaw of Doubt.
Before you even start this one, the door closes on this one. You got to be careful. You're inside the room before anyone pulls this boss, because I've been in groups where someone has been locked out of this room because they just weren't close enough. This is one you got to be really careful on that you don't get locked out of.
It was.
Now, when's the last time you did this?
It was way worse because they hotfixed that now, or they moved that boss way back. He was.
Did they?
Yeah,
he was like right up against the doors.
Yeah.
And now
you had to be really careful.
Yeah, it's still an issue. You still need to make sure everyone's in, but yeah, it's not nearly as bad as it was.
Yeah. Don't go range attack as soon as you're within range if your melee is behind you. All right, so, yeah, take it, Hen. Go for Shaw of Doubt. Let's do it.
All right, well, for heal, I don't take this, so I'm going to leave that to you after. But when you start the fight, he casts, it's called a Touch of Nothingness. It casts it on a random player. It's dispellable. And what it does is does damage to people nearby that person. So you want to dispel this. And I know I never have problems dispelling it because there's now an 8-second cooldown on your dispel abilities. So I never have a problem. My cooldown's always up by the time the next one pops. So that's the one thing, that's the only thing I think in this entire dungeon that you have to worry about where you really dispel it. Otherwise, it's going to create real problems for you. I'm not sure. A couple times during the fight, he's going to cast, I'm not even sure what it's called, but you're going to get to, you're going to doubt yourself. Your doubts are going to come to life. And during this phase, everyone wants to stack up in the center.
The figments of doubt.
That's what it is. And yeah. AoE the heck out of all of them. The longer they're up, the more damage you're going to take. Great way to heal this is if everyone's stacked up in the middle, just drop all your AoE healing. You get your Light of Dawn, or for Paladins, or your, what is it, Holy Radiance. Shamans, you got your Healing Rain.
What is it for a monk? And
I don't know. Good thing you're here, hey?
You know what it is? You know what it always is for a monk?
What's that?
Your face.
You kick everybody in the face.
Right, awesome. But that's going to... What's that... All the figments of doubt are dead. Then you're going to go back to DPSing the boss again.
You got to stack up, though. Like, you have to stack up. Because there's always some ranged person chilling way out across the room, and their little figment of doubt is over there with them, and you can't go back. The boss is immune during this phase. You can't go back to attacking the boss if that dude's over there by himself trying to fight his one figment, you know. So if everybody stacks up, you could just AoE. It's way easier on everybody in the group, essentially.
Yeah, really what I think everyone should be doing, regardless, though, is stacking up.
You think? Well, the only issue with that is the touch of nothingness. That as long as that gets dispelled, it doesn't matter anyway. So yeah, really, you could stack up for the whole fight and just stay stacked up.
Yep.
So, if we didn't mention it before, stack up.
Especially on phase two.
I'm going to go with stack up as the strategy for this fight.
But right. If you don't want to stack up, just stand together in a tight little group.
Yeah. That's
the alt hardcore method. Don't stack up, just stand close together.
In a tight group.
So, yeah. Yeah, from a tanking perspective, other than holding the initial aggro on the boss, there's really nothing to do on this except for use every single DPS type cooldown that you can as a tank, and just unload. And if you have a lot of AoE stuff, save that for the standing really tightly together phase, and use it then just to get through it faster. But other than that, I mean, this is a dirt simple tank and fight. You cannot taunt those doubts that are on the other people. They are focused on their respective persons that they spawned from. So that's why you have to stand closely together very tightly near the center and let those things group up with you, and then you can AoE them all down very quickly.
Or as I like to say, stack up.
So that about does it for Temple of the Jade.
There's one last thing. Hen, did you want to grab that?
Sure. There's one other achievement here. I didn't know about it till I was actually looking into this, and I do want to try this one time. But it's called Seeds of Doubt. Throughout the in his room when he casts the Figments of Doubt phase, four crystals pop up in each corner, and what these crystals will do, they're called Seeds of Doubt, but they look like little tiny purple crystals. I saw them last night when we were in there. But they'll give your group a debuff, and what you need to do to get the achievement is just use all four of these seeds and kill the boss. So I can't give any more tips other than to just let you know that this achievement does exist. And that is how you get it now. so there's that, I guess.
All right. Beat the boss with the debuff of the Seeds of Doubt on Heroic.
Yep.
And if you don't want doubt, you can always use a little bit of this.
Get your hen love tonight. Get your hen love on tonight.
Awesome.
Yes, that is a real song.
Yes, it is.
And yes, it is. It is talking about our very own hen.
That it is. I'm awesome. All right, I'm going to send some hen love to our guildies, the Hordleys, on the Deathwing server. And I'm going to send out some special hen love to Root, who had that song commissioned for me. I think he wrote it, but he did not sing and perform it. But still, extra special hen love for Root. And also from the Hearthcast podcast with Root, Freckleface. She was on the Vote to Kick podcast last night and gave us a shout out on there. So I'd like to send her some extra hen love tonight as well.
I want to give a little bit of, well, I just can't bring myself to say it yet, really.
Come on, do it. Do
but I will give a shout out to... I will give a shout out to some of our listeners and stuff. So, yeah, Holy Predator on Twitter. Thanks for your email. I want to thank Yingxi for writing, tweeting in again. And El Amari, always participating, it seems. And I finally got to follow him. I could have swore I was already, but I get confused sometimes between popping back and forth between the Training Dummies account and my personal account. So sometimes I get a little mixed up. I'm an old man, not quite as old as Hen, but, you know, it's starting to settle in, a little bit of Alzheimer's. I just want to thank everybody that that goes to the blog and comments and participates, and everybody on Twitter that, you know, gives us ideas and questions, and everybody that goes into more detail with comments on Facebook. Twitter can really, really stink for trying to give instructions, because everything has to be so succinct, and 144 characters is not a good medium to relay right, how to do something. So that really sucks. So... So yes, anybody that needs anything really elaborated on, Facebook's actually a very easy way to do that, because you can type so much more and really get down to the meat of things. And it's a lot easier to follow a conversation on a given topic, because everything's there. It's all there. There's not a bazillion other weird things in there. But anyway, that's my shout out to you guys. Thanks everyone for doing that. Thanks for supporting us, and it's been good.
I'm pretty much going to echo that. Our community on Twitter is just super awesome. I try to interact with as many people as I can. Taraya the Mom, Tom, Aluna Makata, Big Bear Butt, Tempest from the Buy Not Equip podcast, Wraith One. There's so many people. I don't want to leave anybody out, but the people this week that I've been going back and forth with, especially... Kim Scally, Mr. J, Thunderspank, and of course Meatball. Can't forget Meatball. He's been raiding with us. That dude's awesome. So you guys are great. It's super cool to do this interaction, and I know, like Hoof said, it's kind of frustrating to get limited to 140 characters. So if you ever want to shoot off an email or jump on Facebook or anything, you know, we will always answer you. We will always respond. So it's really...
Or send an MP3.
Even better, so we can hear your smexy voices. And there's one thing that we kind of touched on last week that we started pushing for offline is our big contest. And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We are giving away a battle chest and a little KT battle pet. And... to enter is simple. If you think that Hen Love bumper was terrible, then show us that you can do better than us in creating bumpers, and create one for our listener calls, emails, MP3s section, and as well create one for our main topic discussion. And what we'll do on Wednesday next week is we'll take all the submissions, which is right now at zero, listen to them, decide upon our favorites, and award the winners with those prizes.
Remember, keep it 10 seconds or less. It's just supposed to be some goofy little jingle or like bumper, so to speak. Just have fun with it. It's not an intro or an outro or anything extensive. It's just meant to be a little surprise, just kind of bring it in. So be goofy, be funny, whatever you want to do. Use sound effects. Use whatever.
Use your mixing skills.
Yeah.
Tell your wife that you will wash the dishes if she will speak with you and be goofy with you.
All the details are at a website, though. You can find them all at thetradingdummies.com/contest. Okay, we'll get into some, one five-star review this week, and it is from Great Britain. I'm not going to try any accents. I'm just going to read this.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, no.
You're already doing it in an accent. Shut it. What are you talking about?
All right. Now, this Herbs. Is a proper... Herbs is right. Now, this is a proper podcast by Trigster. It says, great podcast, guys. Very informative, very fun to listen to while I'm at work. But most of all, this must be one of the most professional World of Warcraft podcasts I have listened to. That is, no talking over each other or interrupting each other. Thanks for the great podcast demo on Outland EU.
Oh, you guys.
Surprised neither of you interrupted me while I was reading that.
That's...
Just to make a point.
It was so tempting.
I was going to cast Wind Shear on you.
I was actually going to tell Rob I was going to tell him, like, hey, when he starts reading this, let's just start talking to each other.
I was waiting for it.
And I completely spaced it out.
But thanks for that five-star review. That's awesome. We love getting those. If anyone wants to leave us a review, just go to iTunes, or you can give us a thumbs up on Stitcher as well.
I have one thing I'm going to add here real quick, because I forgot to give this shout out to Johnny Feisty. He stole one of my ideas on Twitter, but he's actually doing it. He is actually writing people their own songs to his Twitter followers, and he sent me one for me this week, and it about had me in stitches. It was awesome. So if you guys follow him and ask him, he will write you your own song and send it to you. So that is super cool for taking my idea. Man. I'll take the credit, but he's actually doing it. So
that's awesome.
And that about does it for episode number 24 of The Training Dummies. So be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com. Or if you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. And we also encourage you to be like Elamari and leave comments on the episodes. You can also like us on facebook.com/thetrainingdummies or follow us on Twitter at Rob Copeland or The Training Dummies.
Now who's really got a hens playbook?
At Training Dummies. And subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Be sure to get those thumbs up and five-star reviews in. It really means a lot to us. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to record an MP3 or send an email to theshow@thetrainingdummies.com.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoW Podcasts.